Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. In 2013, the Arkansas legislature voted to expand Medicaid to able-bodied, childless adults through Obamacare, much like Kansas is considering doing right now. One of the primary motivations behind this decision, if not the primary factor, was the hope, or rather hype, that expansion would save hospitals from certain demise. But after nearly six full years of expansion and hundreds of thousands of able-bodied adults added to welfare, Arkansas's hospitals are still struggling, and many of them have actually closed. Joining us now to discuss the dismal reality behind Medicaid expansion is Nick Horton. Nick is the research director at the Foundation for Government Accountability, where he focuses on welfare reform and Medicaid expansion. Nick, thanks for joining us this evening.
Hey, John, thanks so much. I'm really, really pleased to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you joining me, my friend. You know, Nick, this comes as no surprise to those of us who can see that expanding welfare doesn't create jobs or bolster an economy. But still, these hospital closures cannot be ignored. Yet advocates, including apparently a constitutional majority in both chambers of the Kansas legislature, continue to think this is a good idea. What, can they not read the newspaper? I don't get it.
Well, you know, I think that's a really, really good way of putting it, because, you know, just the common observer, just the common man like you and me, we look at this, you know, okay, you want me to expand welfare, you want me to add couple hundred thousand, maybe 300,000 able-bodied adults to Medicaid in Kansas, a program that was never intended for able-bodied working age people. It was intended for the truly needy and folks with disabilities and folks in nursing homes and seniors. And you want me to do that at the cost of several billion dollars per year. And if we do that, we take all of these working age adults and we give them more welfare benefits, somehow through some sort of, you know, pixie dust, that's going to create jobs and spin up all this economic activity. There's going to be a hospital on every street corner and a chicken in every pot. And, you just hear this over and over. I've worked on this issue now, much longer than I ever wanted to, going back to 2012, 2013. And I've probably in a couple of dozen states now I've worked on this issue. And every time you step into the Capitol, this is what you hear from the hospital lobbyists and the folks inside we call it the Marble Palace down here in Arkansas. But that's what you hear, that just all of a sudden, if you flip this switch and you just add hundreds of thousands of people to welfare, your tax coffers are going to be full and you're never going to have a problem in your life. And I think the common observer or just the average voter out there, it's just so absurd on its face when you really look at the details, or really you just say it the way you did, John, which is, putting people on welfare, putting able-bodied adults on welfare, it's never created economic activity. It's never created jobs, and it's never going to.
No, and you're absolutely right. I remember when my first year in the legislature, I don't think they had read any of my collateral material or visited my website. They could have saved time had they done that. But sure enough, they all came to my office and tried their pitch, and it didn't take them long to learn any better. finally, I educated them on where I stood on the issue. It didn't take long, but they came to do their pitch. Arkansas's cautionary tale, though, and I was reading some of the articles that you've written. You know, in September of this year, the CEO of the Arkansas Hospital Association said, in 2018 has been, quote, a tough year for small hospitals financially, and he expressed concern that some rural hospitals in the state are approaching closure. In August of this year, you had a large hospital in central Arkansas, the only hospital in a Little Rock suburb of Jacksonville. It closed. Last month, one of the largest hospitals in the state announced layoffs. Nick, I'm sorry. I seem to recall that when you guys did this 6 years ago, didn't they all say that Medicaid expansion was supposed to save rural hospitals? Because that's the pitch they're using here.
Oh, yeah. They said all sorts of things. They said it was going to create jobs. There were studies done to show it's going to create more than 1,000 hospital jobs in the state of Arkansas. And I think more critically than that, even, I mean, I was there at the Capitol working on this issue and covering this issue as a reporter at the time. We were told that the public and the taxpayers of Arkansas were told that this was going to keep hospitals open.
Right. We've been told that, too.
Yeah. And I would say that was a deciding or determining factor, because at that time we had the first Republican legislature that we had since Reconstruction. And you had a handful of folks, including a new Speaker of the House, who had campaigned and worked against expansion and against the Obamacare exchanges for years. And then all of a sudden they come into office and they start flirting with this. Really, just going way back in the files here, but saving the hospitals was really one of the deciding factors. It's why a lot of Republicans kind of started to peel off at the end and ultimately vote for expansion was based on this promise. And, you know, here we are several billion dollars later, more than 300,000 able-bodied adults added to the welfare rolls. We still have a Medicaid waiting list in our state. Folks with disabilities, intellectual and developmental disabilities, that aren't getting all of the help that they need from the Medicaid program. And here we are with our hospitals. We've got massive layoffs. We've got hospitals closing, and we're left holding the bag.
But we're being told in Kansas that none of that's going to happen. We're being told it's going to save jobs. It's going to save hospitals. It's the same pitch. I'm sure you got it 6 years ago. That I love the figure you mentioned, because that's the other one we're being told is 130,000. And yet case after case in almost every state that has expanded, their anticipated number of new enrollees is double, triple, sometimes up to 220%. Did that happen in Arkansas? Because in that case, you'd get 260,000 Kansans that would come on the rolls, and that would bankrupt this state. What happened in Arkansas? Did you guys see more than anticipated?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen it, and we've seen that, working on this issue in every single state that expanded Medicaid, that made enrollment projections. Every single one of them have exceeded those. On average, they've exceeded them by more than double, by 110%. So in Arkansas, we were told 215,000, that's the most, that was the most, John, that we're ever supposed to even be eligible for the program. And at the peak of the program, before we finally did work requirements and the governor and the administration, the new administration here, put in some good anti-fraud reforms, there were more than 331,000 able-bodied adults that were enrolled in the program. So, undershot it by more than 100,000 people, all working-age able-bodied adults, and blew a hole in our budget. It blew the lid off the cost of the program, and here we are today.
Another lie of expansion is the federal match. And I love this one, because advocates claim the government will cover up to 95% of the cost. But according to the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, the federal share dropped to 94% in 2018. 93% this year, correct? So the federal match is going down. Does that just get paid by, again, pixie dust, or do taxpayers end up having to pick up that share?
Well, taxpayers are paying for all of it, and I think that's one of the things that the other side the other side, frankly, likes to create a lot of confusion about, because, you know, there's this illusion that, you know, it's all free money. It's not coming directly out of state taxpayer funds or the state budget. Then, you know, it must be free, or it's from, you know, Missouri or Iowa or some other, you know, neighboring state. But in reality, of course, any Kansas taxpayer that's paying Kansas state taxes is also a federal taxpayer. And at the end of the day, we're all paying for it. Really, in reality, our grandkids are paying for it, because all the federal dollars that are being spent on it are being added to the national debt. But yeah, the federal match rate, I think, is a big concern. It's something that, you know, Kansans and the Kansas legislature should be very concerned about. It's going down again in just a couple months. In January, it's going to drop to 90%. So my home state here of Arkansas and all the other states around the country that have bought into this this scheme, if you will, we're going to be paying an even higher percentage starting in January. That's even more money that's going to come out of our state budget that can't go to pay for traditional Medicaid costs, that can't go to pay for infrastructure improvements or more public safety or fixing our highways. Probably things that, you know, the voters there and your listeners, John, those are probably things that they care about too. But if you open the door to Medicaid expansion, you're going to be spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year just to give more welfare out to working age, able-bodied adults. And you're not going to have much money left around to spend on those other important things.
Well, that's a good point right there, because I know just in the advertising I've seen recently, they're still touting the 95% figure. And yet you're literally in January, it's dropping to 90%. So right there, there's a 5% gap.
Right.
So they're lying right there. One of the things, yeah, I'd prefer Kansas not expand at all, and I have said so. I've been very public about that opinion, and that has not changed since I left the legislature and since I entered the legislature. But if legislators are insistent on going down this path, is there anything they can do to mitigate the damage to our economy and the taxpayers? I mean, obviously, work requirements, things like that, although currently the bill that is being considered doesn't have any of that stuff. But if they are going to do it, what are some of the things that they could try and implement to reduce the costs?
Yeah, that's a tough one. My pretty simple answer on that would be just don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah, amen, brother.
The best way to make Medicaid expansion better is just to not take it, because, you know, the enrollment, the category of in federal law, the group that this would apply to are able-bodied adults, 19 to 64 years old, without disabilities. You know, 80%+ of them don't even have dependents. And the biggest problem that those folks are facing, I would say, generally, broadly speaking, is they're not working. They need employment. And what you're going to do by expanding Medicaid is you're going to make it increasingly less likely that those folks go back to work, when really, you know, if they work even part-time at minimum wage, they could be out of poverty and be able to get health coverage through the Obamacare exchange if they go above the poverty line. And so you're really perpetuating a lot of, I think, bigger problems there. You know, when you look at the size and the scope of Kansas's Medicaid program today, you're spending more than $3 billion, almost $3.5 billion on Medicaid right now. Just a few years ago, it was about $600 million in the year 2000. So a massive increase in growth in the Medicaid program just over the last, you know, less than couple decades. And, you know, I don't think, you know, I talk to states about this issue and do radio and such all over the country. And, you know, there really is no way to expand welfare for non-disabled adults in a conservative way. There just isn't. And work requirements are great. Medicaid work requirements are great. We've done them in Arkansas. A bunch of expansion states are doing them. But the reason those expansion states are doing work requirements is because those programs are so out of control, they're having to try to find ways to rein them in.
Right.
So to expand Medicaid and then do a work requirement to try to rein it back in, how about you just don't let it get out of control in the first place, and protect and save your Medicaid program for seniors and low-income children and individuals with disabilities, and really focus on fixing the Medicaid program, preserving it for people that really need it, instead of opening it up to able-bodied childless adults.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, let's protect it for the folks it was intended for in the first place. Amen, brother. I completely agree with you. Nick, if people are interested in more information about the Foundation for Government Accountability, or you've got some amazing articles, I read a number of them today as I was preparing for the show this evening, where can they go for more information?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. If they want to learn more about FGA and the work that we're doing to stop Obamacare's Medicaid expansion and really promote work across the country, they can go to www.thefga.org. And if they want to, you know, read more of my work, they can go to my personal website, nhhorton.com.
Perfect. Well, Nick, I appreciate you coming on this evening and shining the light on this and holding them accountable. And, you know, as we try, I know there's going to be a huge fight next session in the legislature. I know that you, I know you're familiar with our House Majority Leader, Dan Hawkins, and, you know, stay in touch with him because he's going to need you to help him fight the good fight up there. And we'll be following you and keeping you. I'll probably have you on again as we get into session to help hold them accountable and help our audience stay informed. Because if the folks want to stay informed and keep their legislators informed on this issue, it's going to be with the help of people like you. And I appreciate you keeping us informed this evening.
Hey, I really appreciate it. I'm happy to come on anytime. When I travel to other states, folks often ask, you know, why are you here? Why do you care so much about this issue in our state? And I think, you know, I care about Medicaid. I care about making sure that it's there for people that truly need it. And I've also seen on the flip side of that what happens personally here in Arkansas when the program gets out of control. And so I'm happy to help and happy to come on anytime and try to educate folks about, you know, the dangers of going down this path.
Well, yours is really a cautionary tale down there. And since that's why I wanted to make sure people here heard it, because what happened in Arkansas can absolutely happen here. And I appreciate you sharing it this evening.
Thanks, John.
Coming up, Gloria Van Reese from the Sentinel is going to tell us about the potential of $1 billion tax increase here in Wichita. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!